We have a very exciting announcement here at the Persuasion Lab podcast, and that is the opening of the fully outfitted digital Persuasion Lab. So I've been negotiating professionally for decades, and the most common deal breaker I see with my clients before our work together is that they simply don't know how to prepare for a negotiation. Now, it doesn't really matter whether they're trying to close a sale, secure a vendor through a competitive pricing agreement, come out on top through litigation, or simply navigate quarantine-strained relationships at home. They simply aren't equipped with the words, nonverbal skills, or situational awareness to succeed. With that in mind, I've developed the Persuasion Lab. It's a digital learning platform that automates the transactional processes I've developed over my years in negotiation. I've designed it so that you don't need to spend tens of thousands of dollars, or more potentially, on professional negotiators like me, but can equip yourself with the skills you need to walk into almost any negotiation, whether it's this evening at the dinner table or over Zoom next week, confident that you're well prepared for success. Although the lab is outfitted and open, the thing that's missing is the piece that matters most, you. To that end, we're offering some very special introductory deals for our beta users through the end of the year. Most notably, we have options that include 30 days free and or lifetime access for the price of just 1 month's subscription. All you need to do is get in on the action and head over to thepersuasionlab.com. You can find the link in the show notes below. The only caveat, because we have just launched, there may be some hiccups here or there. Your feedback is incredibly important as we wrap up our final stages of development. And should you experience any misfires at all, just let us know and we'll make it right. This episode of the Persuasion Lab, we're talking about how to avoid negotiation crises. Now, I'm going to be drawing on the work of Patrick Van Horn and Jason Riley. These are two authors of a book called Left of Bang. These are two veterans, Marine veterans, combat veterans. And what they talk about is how to avoid a bad situation. And I apply, of course, to the business world. And so do they. They actually have a consultancy now, and they apply these same things to business operations, if you will. And that's the side of the negotiation we're talking about here, the operational side. As you know, strategic things are things we do beforehand, tactical things we do at the negotiation, operational things external to the negotiation that impact its outcome. And that's basically what they call their six domains are that we need to be aware of to avoid a negotiation crisis, or as I interpret their book and apply to negotiation, how to avoid it to a negotiation crisis. And it's very important because it talks about how negotiation crisis involves things we should have known about but missed. We didn't see it. We wished people didn't behave in an example where it was deceptive, but we missed it. But actually, you can tell if people are behaving oddly. And this is the spot a liar thing. And I have a lot to say about that because invariably, the popular media gets it wrong. So, cultural, environmental, situational, how people behave normally is very important when you're trying to determine deception or what does their body language mean. And this is what I'm talking about is baseline. You have to get a baseline of how things are normally. If you don't have a baseline, you don't know what's going on. And it's frustrating for me because, say, when there's a candidate up for some position that requires Senate approval under the U.S. Constitution,
when that happens, you have people testifying, this person's good, this person's bad, and then the academic and consultants who are expert body language readers come out, and then they offer opinions to any number of media channels, and they can often be 180 degrees on their opinion of whether or not this person is being truthful or not. And I watch them all. Well, not all of them, but as many as I can. And I will tell you that it's all BS, because these people probably had no prior dealings with the person on the witness stand. If you don't have prior dealings, you don't have a baseline, you don't know how they normally behave. And that's why I think it's very deceptive to just say, oh yeah, I'm an expert and I'm a consultant on this, and given their body language, they're not telling the truth. That's just not the way it happens. You don't know until you have that baseline. The next thing we're going to look for before we go into these six domains is clusters. These are when more than one of these domains happens that indicate something, that may indicate deception, that indicate crisis, that indicate something is up that you may want to take notice of. So it's not the one blinking rate of the person. It's not, oh, they're pupil dilated. Well, those definitely do mean things, but those are very small tells in a complex device of the human body, if you will. A lot of things happen based on a lot of different inputs and a lot of things we can't see. We are not mind readers. But when clusters happen, it makes it more likely that something has happened. For example, of the six domains, if four point to one if four of the domains point to one direction, I will want to take notice. So let's get started in looking at each of these domains. The first is this concept of kinesics. This is conscious or subconscious body language, things we do where we're not really thinking about it. This happens all the time. We know popular examples. For example, I talk about getting small, getting a smaller profile, hunching over, maybe crossing your arms. This is when you do not want to get noticed. And I've definitely been at parties where I do not want to get noticed. When you're feeling confident, you kind of open up. And if you look on the operational side and the Persuasion Lab tools, you can see that all these are mapped out and we have pictures of models exhibiting this behavior. So how we consciously or unconsciously hold our bodies can give us information. That is this concept of kinesics. The second domain are biometric cues. And these are uncontrollable and automatic biological responses of stress or happiness or some type of mood. And these are small windows into our emotional states. And you can, I actually took Paul Ekman's facial recognition class, and those micro expressions are 1/25 of a second. They're very fast. You know, people who hold up different facial expressions for a long period of time, they may or may not be sincere. So it's micro expressions that Dr. Ekman believes gives us windows into the psyche. But let's look at other biometric clues that are pretty evident. One is, flush, which is the reddening of the face, neck, extremities. This can mean two things. Of course, it can mean embarrassment or it can mean anger. And this response is generally blood flowing to the extremities. So, you know, evolutionarily, we are trying to do something, run, prepare for combat or something like that. So when you look pallid, when your face is white, it generally means fear, because you're trying not to get noticed, that blood is getting away from your extremities and preparing your body to freeze, not get noticed, not take on a potential attention-getting behavior. Another thing is, of course, the eyes. Dilated pupil means excitement. Generally means good. You're happy. This is why a lot of poker players wear sunglasses, because if they get a good hand, generally their pupils will dilate. Sunglasses will not let your fellow card players see that. Proxemics, this is where distance between people, which determines familiarity. And this is all the work of, you know, 60s, 70s, I think his work was done, anthropologist Edward Hall. And he came up with these different distances of people, intimate, social, or public. And there's different aspects of it where there's like a pull, where you lean into things, if you will, or a push when you're repulsed. Leaning away means that's, you know, you're kind of offending me. Leaning into someone, generally you care for them. And there's subtle things. Intimate, this is, if you imagine a ring of concentric circles, intimate is when we're very close. I forgot the exact number. It's like 18 inches. These are people we're intimately involved with. You can always tell. I can always tell at parties when people are intimate with one another who are trying to feint it. If the couple is, you know, within that intimate distance, or if they touch one another, especially in the small of the back, something's going on. And a social distance is further away. These are business people. Public, when you're on stage, when you're talking to a large crowd, we're much further away, a few meters. And if you cross those lines of these concentric circles, Edward Hall tells us, it sends signals that something else is going on. That's one of the six domains we're talking about. It can give us information. If we're drawn to someone, if we take a step towards someone, that can mean something. If we take steps away from someone, when we cross from a social distance to a public distance, that can indicate fear. I want to get away from this person because I assume they are a danger. So if you're trying to do a deal and someone's stepping away from you, they're afraid of you. There was a study done, God, this is like 20 years ago, at trial attorneys, on how some of these trial attorneys who were big, tall people, menacing, would go up to the jury and like point fingers and stuff. This was very offensive and scary to a lot of the jurors, and they would lose their cases because they really didn't think about their proxemics with the jury and how they held themselves. So things to be aware of. The, let's see, one, two, three, fourth domain here is this idea of geographic. So this has to do with how people get around. What are their routines? For example, does the person who claims to be an expert never frequent areas that experts go? I don't know, go to lectures, go to libraries, go to places where they would do that. Does the person claiming to be one thing not move in geographic space where those types of people move? That can give you indications of veracity. The authors of Left a Bang have this concept of natural lines of drift, which is where people typically go when they're trying to be efficient. Habitual points, places where people can go without restrictions, is one area that they highlight, habitual points. Now, anchor points require certain status to get in those. You know, maybe a C-suite, maybe a boardroom where you need special access. Those anchor points are part of how you tell if the person has weight. For example, I'm working on a large deal, an enterprise level deal with a large company. It will require a substantial investment. Does the party I'm talking with have any, say, regular access to people who can make decisions? Do I see them going in and out of the you know, C-level executive who is in charge of that function, or a senior VP, or are they just saying so? So if I'm trying to do a deal, I want to make sure that person has political weight, importance, and access within that organization. And I can tell you, I have done many deals at, or actually not done deals in Fortune 500 companies, because at the end of the day, the party, the single point of contact, the lead, just wasn't taken credibly enough within their own organization, and they did not get the service and that the organization thought was more important. And in that case, of course, you'd ask for a swap out of someone who actually can make an impact. And we actually have done that. Our team has done that before. Next of these domains, the fifth domain is iconography. This is information gathered about symbols, what people wear, clothing, tattoos, how they demonstrate things. And in the diplomatic realm, it can be very blunt. So there was an artist, Kai Go Kwang, I believe is how his name is pronounced, and he was awarded by the U.S. government. He got like a $250,000 taxpayer-funded award, and he basically blew up a Christmas tree in front of the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. as performance art. And the Secretary of State in 2012 presided over this. And some diplomats thought, what does this mean? You know, the Christmas tree is a kind of a symbol of Western, and to have a Chinese national blow it up in Washington, D.C., was that a symbol? And according to Pillsbury, professor and author of a book, he says, yes, this was a signal using iconography to show where viewed its relationship with the United States. So take that, you know, that's what Mr. Pillsbury thinks it means, but that's an example of how, in a diplomatic setting, they can be very blunt. Whereas certain rings, certain stuff may give you windows into the person's intent. For example, there was a candidate for a mayor of a major United States city who wore a clothing with pictures of some of the great dictators, you know, Mao and other people that telegraphed an affiliation to everyone, and that affiliation was not approved by the voters. And finally, on the final domain is what we call atmospherics. Now, I'm not talking about cloud and rain or the stratosphere. We're talking about kind of collective attitudes, behaviors, and moods is what the authors of Left of Bang call it. And this is has to do with how do things look to you? Disorder, noise, activity. All these things may have positive or negative attributes. If you go into a business that you're looking to be a strategic supplier or something, and there's lots of activity and people who go with purpose to different areas and are walking around and things are getting done, that can send signals. If it's chaos, if people are yelling, if there's like oddness going on, that will tell you that something's shifting. It can mean this is the way they do business all the time, or things are happening. And I'm sure a number of our listeners have gone into businesses where they know something has happened, and right after that, there was a reduction in force. They may have been acquired. You can tell when that atmosphere shifts quickly. The noise, chaos, people leaving jobs, summary firings, all this stuff can give us, there's a little chaos here. What does it mean to me? Is something changing? And those are ways to read this situation when you're trying to negotiate before things get to a bad situation, I want to look at these six domains, which, again, kinesics, biometric cues, proxemics, geographics, iconography, atmospherics. All these six things will help us. And again, if I'm reading a person, I need a baseline. And if I'm making a decision about one of these six different areas that give us windows into what's happening, I'm looking for clusters. I'm looking for more than one of these things to happen. And that's it. I hope this was informative in helping you perform operationally better in your negotiations. I appreciate your listening. And again, a lot of this information and these tools are online in the Persuasion Lab digital platform. Give it a look. Thank you for listening, and a special thanks to my subscribers who are growing with every episode. We'll be back next week in the Persuasion Lab. And remember, plan, ask, and focus to increase your effectiveness as a negotiator.